day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and take joy in it. And let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. The call to worship this morning is from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us worship God. There is a slight change to the bulletin this morning. The opening hymn is not Jesus Loves Me. Actually, it's Jesus Bids Us Shine, and it can be found in your hymn book on page, or it's number 773 in your hymn book. And thank you very much to Paul for being our accompanist this morning. Let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that your joy and peace would rest upon us and that we would be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit this morning and always. Thank you that when few or many meet together to glorify you, you are right in their midst. We pray that our time together will be productive and honoring to you. Increase our love for one another and for you. Instill in our hearts the hope of our salvation and surround each of us with your love and joy. Use us as channels to minister to others in need. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. Open our wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones so that we might feel our spirits leap for joy and skip with hope as your resurrection witnesses. Our scriptures this morning are going to be read by Sarah Jane Woods.
Good morning. The responsive lesson this morning is Psalm 100. Which can be found on page 562 in your pew Bible. Let us hear the word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. The New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, found on page 222 in your pew Bible. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, thought perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Sarah Jean. Let us lift our voices in praise once again, singing I've Got the Joy, 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 which is found on the insert in your bulletin. Meditation this morning is called Courageous Joy, and it was written by Max Lucado. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Everyone is looking for joy. Marketing companies know this. Every commercial promises the same product, joy. Want some joy? Buy our hand cream. Want some joy? Sleep on this mattress. Want some joy? Eat at this restaurant, drive this car, wear this dress. Every commercial portrays the image of a joy-filled person, even Preparation H. Before using the product, the guy on the screen frowns and squirms in his chair. Afterwards, he's the image of joy. Joy. Everyone wants it. Everyone promises it. But can anyone deliver it? Joy is a big topic in the Bible. And simply put, God wants his children to be joy-filled. Just like a father wants his baby to laugh with glee, God longs for us to experience a deep-seated, deeply rooted joy. The joy offered by God is different than the one promised at the car dealership or at the shopping mall. God is not interested in putting a temporary smile on your face. He wants to deposit a resilient hope in your heart. He has no interest in giving you a shallow happiness that melts in the heat of adversity. But he does offer you a joy, a deep-seated, heartfelt, honest-to-goodness, ballistic, strong sense of joy that can weather the most difficult of storms. Peter referred to this joy in the opening words of the epistle. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Who was Peter addressing when he spoke of unspeakable joy? As Sarah Jane read, he was speaking to God's chosen people who were away from their homes and scattered all around the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter was speaking to persecuted Christians, people who had been driven from their cities, separated from their families, their rights had been taken, their property had been taken, their possessions had been taken, and their futures had been taken. But their joy had not been taken. Why? Go back to Peter's epistle again, this time in another translation. You have never seen Jesus, and you don't see him now, but still you love him and have faith in him. And the source of their joy was Jesus. And since no one could take away their Jesus, no one could take away their joy. And what about us? What has been taken from us? Our health? Perhaps our house? Perhaps we have buried a dream, buried a marriage, buried a friend. And as we look at these burial plots of life, perhaps our joy is buried there too. If so, you may have substituted courageous joy for contingent joy. Contingent joy is always dependent on a circumstance. Contingent joy says, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy if. I'll be happy when I have a new house or a new spouse. I'll be happy when I'm healed or when I'm home. Contingent joy depends on the right circumstance. And since we cannot control every circumstance, we set ourselves up for disappointment. Envision the person who buys into the lie of contingent joy. As a young person, they assume, if I get a car, I'll be happy. They get the car, and the car wears out. So then they look for joy elsewhere. If I get married, I'll be happy. So they get married, then disappointment. The spouse cannot deliver all the time. This goes on through a series of attempts. If I get the new job, if I can retire, if we just had a baby. In each case, joy comes, but then diminishes. By the time this person reaches old age, he has ridden a roller coaster of hope and disappointment. He becomes sour and fearful. Contingent joy turns us into wounded people. Courageous joy, however, turns us into strong people. Courageous joy sets the hope of the heart on Jesus and Jesus alone. And since no one can take your Christ, no one can take your joy. Think about it. Can death take your joy? No, because Jesus is greater than death. Can failure take your joy? No, because Jesus is greater than our sin. Can betrayal take your joy? No, because Jesus will never leave us. Can sickness take your joy? No, because God has promised, whether on this side of the grave or the other, he will heal you. Can disappointment take your joy? Nope. Because though your plan may not work out, God's plan will. Death, failure, betrayal, sickness, disappointment, they cannot take your joy because they cannot take your Jesus. And Jesus promised in John, no one will take away your joy. Is that to say our lives will be storm-free? Is that to say that we won't suffer any sorrows? No. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Is that to say you will never cross dry lands of sorrow? No. But that is to say your sorrow will not last forever. He says, your grief will turn to joy. Courageously joyful people anchor their hearts in the shoreline of God. Will the boat rock? Yes. Will moods come and go? No doubt. But will they be left adrift on the Atlantic of despair? No. For we have found a joy which remains courageous throughout all storms. And this courageous joy is quick to become contagious joy. Christians of the New Testament church were not known for their buildings or denominations or programs. They were known for their joy. They ate together in their homes, happy to share their food with joyful hearts. They praised God and were liked by all people. The early Christians were joyful Christians. In fact, you might argue that there is no other type. In the purest sense, the phrase joyful Christian is redundant. We shouldn't need the adjective. We don't put the word dead in front of cadaver or wet in front of water. Ideally, we shouldn't have to put joyful in front of Christian, but we do. We do because we tend to major in contingent joy and not courageous joy, but God can change that. Assess your joy level. Are you joyless? Do you spread more pessimism than you do hope? If so, God can help you. Grimness is not a Christian virtue. Believe that joy is possible. Don't give in to despair. What Jesus said to his followers, he says to you, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Be open to the possibility of a joy from heaven. Joy may be elusive, but it is never gone. Sometimes it just takes work. Let's look at our blessings. Do we see friends, family? Do we see grace from God and the love of God? Do you see gifts, abilities, skills, and talents? As we look at our blessings, take note of what happens. Sorrow grabs his bags and slips out the back door. Unhappiness refuses to share a heart with gratitude. So one heartfelt thank you will suck the oxygen out of a joyless world. So say it often. Who is to say God won't give the same to you? All you need to do is call out to him. Ask God, Lord, what is separating me from my joy? Ask him to replace that contingent joy with courageous joy. Ask him to help you anchor to the firm rock on his shoreline. Ask him to show you the joy that cannot be taken. He will. He will stir a revival of contagious joy in your heart. Amen. Let us come forward now to present our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, as we lay before you our financial offerings, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in your house, and in the warmth of your embrace. Thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of this world and rest upon the certainties of the kingdom. For your promises are not changeable as those of a politician's might be, but immovable and eternal. Thank you that we can bring to your feet all the hurts and fears that trouble us and leave them there, knowing that your strength and assurance are all that we require. Thank you that as we prepare to leave worship, we can go forth with the knowledge that our world of concerns and fears can be given to you in order that we may be at peace in your presence, find healing, wholeness, joy, and refreshment wherever we may be. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of worship. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great wisdom and strength, and thank you for being an ever-present help in time of need. We ask that as you would send us out from this place with a joyful expectation of what you are going to accomplish in each of our lives, we ask that you would remain close to each one of us in the days that lie ahead. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, verses 1 and 4, and it is number 410 in your hymn book. Please join in the commissioning, which is printed in your bulletin. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us out to live joyful lives that glorify you. Take us and use us to spread your joy as we serve you and all people. Thank you this morning to Paul for playing for us, and as well to Benjamin Woods back on the soundboard. Thanks so much, Ben. And now, may the God of hope fill you with joy and all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope and joy. I hope everyone will stay after the service. We're setting up for strawberry shortcake or biscuits and jam, whichever you prefer. So please do come back to the McClellan Room following the service. And our choral benediction today is go now in peace.